I was blessed this week to send out a call to Unity Worldwide Ministries. And, you know, when there's a time, you know, to be present, I want to take that time. And so I was so grateful that Unity Worldwide Ministries said yes to doing something. Here it is. Yeah. And what I was wanting, I called Reverend Donna Johnson, who's the CEO of Unity Worldwide Ministries, and told her what we were doing with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and that we'd be collecting articles of clothing and blankets and taking those. Someone from here would take those. And I said, so is there anything you would like to add? Right? So, yeah. So she wrote back, of course, Denise, I'd be happy to. Let me come up with something and I'll have it to you by the end of the day. So she did. And so I wanted to read that to you. And what's great about that is, you know, we're always looking for an opportunity to express more greatly. So she posted it on Facebook and she went on to, you know, share that throughout the movement. So you never know when Spirit's going to nudge you and to support a greater expression. So here it is. It's so beautiful. Unity Worldwide Ministry holds all involved in the Dakota Pipeline situation in prayer. Unity recognizes the divine presence inherent in all people. When we choose to focus upon it and become receptive to it, this presence expresses through each of us as the ultimate wisdom, unlimited compassion, unfailing strength, and impeccable right action. Thus, our entire world benefits. Yes? We pray all people whose minds, hearts, and hands are entwined and embroiled in this place of strife and opposition in North Dakota, and all people who stand and watch the world over, will pause and touch the inner sacred presence so the higher, more harmonious solutions can be made known. There is a divine path forward that is honoring and peaceful for all. May we be open to the sacred power within to heal, guide, unite, and demonstrate the unlimited possibilities for good in the world when people are willing to be its channel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we are the channel for God. We are the hands of God. We are the heart and the voice of God. And isn't it just so beautiful? I think our president got of the country also got the same message, because I hear that he's also moving towards more harmonious ways of rerouting the pipeline. Amen?
Amen.
So you just never know how that's all going to outpicture. And I don't claim to own to be responsible, but part of, right? That's it, that we're part of. And so part of it is being willing to stand in the truth of that. So I'm delighted to continue on with this journey of awakening with you. This is our fifth week of doing this beautiful series. And I have to say, our facilitators are doing such a fabulous job. And yeah, and if you're in the room, facilitators, would you stand so we can give you a hand? Come on. Yeah. But there's actually 8 or 9 or 10 of you, and so they come to a variety of services, but we just are having the best time being together, and they're just reporting all the things that are taking place in the groups. There's just this rich and deep sharing. There's wonderful healings that are happening for you, and reading the material and sort of seeing life in a whole new way. Yes? Yes. And that's the miracle, right? The miracle is just this ability to shift our perception, to shift the way we see the world so that we see with a different vision. So this week is about living on purpose, living on purpose. So the eye of the storm of purpose, and the opposite of that is we have opposing needs and values. So when we have opposing needs and values, sometimes there's conflict, yes? And so we can't quite have sometimes the dialogue that we want to, sort of what's happening at Standing Rock, right? Or and other places around the world where we're saying this, but this is not hearing, you know? So part of this is getting clear about what our purpose is. And I came across the story that sort of fits me and maybe some of you. And it's a story about a man named Jack. And Jack was walking along a trail, and there was a cliff, and he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell off the cliff. And as he was going down, he grabbed a branch on the cliff and was temporarily stopped by his fall by holding on to the branch. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, though, and there was really no way for him to climb the steep cliff back up. So he did the next best thing of he began to yell for help, right? So as he was yelling for help, you know, he was starting to get a little tired because no one was coming. And just about that time, he heard a voice say, "Jack, can you hear me?" "Yes. Who is it?" I'm down here, he yells. "I can see you, Jack. Are you all right?" "Yes, but who are you and where are you?" "Well, I'm God, Jack, and I'm everywhere." "Really? God?" "Yes, it's me. I'm here." "Well, please help me. Please, I promise you, if you get me out of this..." You recognize this critter? Yes. Yeah. "I will do whatever you ask of me," right? And God says, "Easy, Jack. Easy on the promises." "So here's what I want you to do. Listen very, very carefully. I want you to let go of the branch." "Is there anybody else up there?" Which is sort of what we do, right? When we don't really want the answer we're getting, you know? "I don't want to let go. I like this plan. Or, you know, I'm attached to this form." So this has been my journey, I know, of learning to let go. And I've had to do that the hard way. I wanted to share with you my sort of journey into ministry and how that happened. I, 27 years ago, let go of an addiction called alcoholism and moved into a spiritual awakening. And in that early part of my journey, I had a friend in the 12-step program who lost his baby girl. And she came down with some strange flu or something, but she died very quickly. It was very tragic. So we all went to the service, and the service happened to be at Unity in San Luis Obispo, where I lived. And so it was my first encounter with Unity, and so I cried through the whole service, partly out of grief for this small child and for my friend, but also for joy, because I was hearing a language that I knew to be true. I was hearing about a God of my knowing and a divinity that I knew was within me, but I had never been able to articulate in that way. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it's that coming home experience of, these are my people. I've come home. We made a sacred contract before we took body, and we decided to meet here on earth, and here you are. Hi! Right? Anyone else having that experience, right? That's sort of the Unity experience, isn't it? Is that we go along our merry way, and all of a sudden, we have this very human experience, and something wakes us up. Something shifts us into getting here, right? We all get here in our different ways. And lo and behold, wow, these are the folks I know at a soul level. And that doesn't make anyone else wrong. It just means this is a language that we all understand so that we can be the Christ of God. Yes? Yes. And we want everyone else to do that too. Right. So it's not an exclusive group, is it? We're an inclusive group, included everyone at the table. So I was so excited to find this church home, and I began on our journey, and I sort of dragged my husband. Anybody else have that experience? Drag the husband. Come on. Aren't you glad you got dragged? I sort of had to share with him, you know, that, wow, I'm having this amazing experience at this church, and I'm really waking up. I'm really having a visceral experience of God, that I'm finally getting to know what God is. And I really want to share this with you, and I'm sort of afraid if you don't come, we're going to be going different ways. Would you be willing to come? He did. Right? That's a great partner, right? That, because I knew how important this work was. It doesn't mean you have to do it that way, but we did because we both decided to become Unity ministers. So that was a big decision, right? And I remember as we started down that journey, the first class we took was the Course in Miracles. And I showed up and there was Mary Smith. Mary Smith was 85. So she's not around anymore. But she was the light of the world. And she said to me as we arrived, to both of us, "So tell us why you're here." What? Why are you just talking to us, right? But what I got downloaded in that moment was, you know, the Spirit said to me, something magnificent is going to happen through you. And I didn't want to share that because it sounded too grandiose. You know what I mean? It was like, who, me? Right? But I did. I shared it. It was my first sort of stepping out into, I am the Christ of God. I am the one who's been chosen to be here, just as you are. Yes? Yes. But we do that in our own unique and individual ways. So that was my first entry into, you know, knowing who I was. And we began the journey, and Larry and I both got deeply into ministry, and he got on the board, and I began to teach the children. By the way, if you really want to learn these principles, teach the children. That is really the greatest way, because they have lots of wonderful questions about real life, you know, and this thing about theory and principle, I'm sorry. You know, they really get it at a very deep level. So that's one way to go. So we began our journey, and then we went off to ministerial school, and I was leaving, both of us leaving our careers in the corporate world, leaving behind all the suits and, you know, the nice cars and all that. So we sold the house and the cars and sort of packed up. I had two children, a 10-year-old and a 6-month-old. Yeah. If I would have known, I would have said, no, we can't go now. This is not a good time. Right? But we did, and we went, and it was perfect and lovely. And I was trying to decide what to do to earn some money. And I, you know, was limited on the hours I could work. So I could work evenings. And usually there's only a couple things you could do at night, right? One of them's waitressing, and the other's prostitution. So it was sort of an easy choice. Aren't you glad? So I really enjoyed that work, though, because I'd never done it before, and I really wanted to peel off the onion skin of who I thought I was, right? That this role model, this image that we sort of think we are, needed to come off, and I knew I needed to humble myself. So if ever you want to humble yourself, become a server, right? But I really I did enjoy it because I love food. So I love food. And I began to create experiences of dining for people. And it was the first time I'd ever done it. I was 40 years old. But I became, you know, one of the best servers that they had. And the younger women were not happy with me because they were more vibrant and alive and had been doing it for some time. And here's this old woman showing up on our scene, taking our money, right? But really, I was really already starting to practice the principles of generosity and seeing how as we give, we shall receive. I was not intending to receive a tip. I was just intending to create a great experience for people. So when we detached from the outcome, when we detached from needing something in return, something great can happen, yes? So you never know how God is going to call us into service. It matters not what form it takes. We can awaken, we can use these principles always. So we finished ministerial school. Larry became an ordained minister. I became a licensed teacher and in that period of time. And I still wasn't sure what God's plan was for me. I knew that this is our journey into ministry. I didn't have the time at the when we were back there to become a minister. I just took some classes. So I knew that at some point I wanted to be a minister. I wasn't sure how that would outpicture. And I wasn't going to stay another 2 or 3 years to continue on that journey. I had children to raise and blah, blah, blah. So we got to the first ministry and Larry was the minister. And I'm looking around going, I wonder what I'm to do. And it just didn't show up. You know, I prayed and I, you know, called it in and it just didn't show up in the form I wanted. So I went back to my old profession, not prostitution. So I went back in my old profession, but everything in me was screaming no, because I had a sacred contract. I was moving forward with a vision God had for my life, right? And you've been there, right? You've said, this is where I'm going. And when it doesn't show up to our liking, sometimes we go, oh, I'm going to go back to what's familiar. I'm going to go back to what I know. And that's when I went into separation. Remember, one of the winds of the storm is separation. I separated myself from God. Yes? Because it didn't show up in the form I expected. And I wasn't willing to sit around and wait. So I sort of got upset with God, went into depression over it, and just sort of, woe is me. God doesn't love me. Right? One of those pity parties because it wasn't happening. And so a friend of mine gave me a book that shifted my perception. It's called The Path by Lori Beth Jones. And it's about writing your purpose. You've read it? It's beautiful. So I took that book and I created a new purpose statement. And while I was working, I did it while I was working, I would take my lunch breaks and I would go out into this field because I loved nature. And I would sit there and I would do this work, read and pray and do all this stuff. And finally, one day, my vision, my purpose came through. And I was so excited. You know, every part of my body began to resonate and tingle. And I actually could see the whole field illuminating with light. It was like the yes from God. It was my burning bush. Anybody else have a burning bush? Yeah. All my life, I've wanted that burning bush. I wanted the sky writing in the, you know, in the sky. I wanted the writing in the sky to tell me exactly how it was going to be. Well, there was no bush and there was no burning, but there was illumination. And there was this total recognition that, you know, I am here to be the presence of peace. I am here to transform lives one heart at a time. And I am here to support everyone on their journey of discovering their life's purpose. So I created a workshop called Living on Purpose. And I brought that to the ministry we were serving. And one woman in the workshop loved it so much that she embodied it and went off to find her new mission and created a new world in square gardening. And where she worked was at the church. She was the administrator. So she left, and there was my opening. That God said, okay, here's your opportunity. And it was so perfect. I couldn't have planned that. That allowed me to get into the field licensing program and to complete my ordination. Took me 5 years, but who's counting? So that's how God works in my life, is that I get these little baby steps, you know? Because if I knew how magnificent God's plan was for me, I might run the other way and have. Right? So it's very much like the Indiana Jones experience, you know, where he's searching the Holy Grail, and he's up on the precipice, and he has nowhere to go in order to leap over, you know, this cavernous place. And they're after him, so he has to make a quick decision. And so he decides to trust, and he takes that first step, right? And as soon as he takes that step, this bridge appears that allows him to escape harm and go to his destiny. And that's how God works in our lives, yes? Is that there's, you know, once we take that first step, then God can do the work. But as I said before, God cannot move or drive a parked car. We got to get in gear. We've got to do our work first, in order for divine plan to made manifest. And you gotta let go. I know that one. You gotta let go of what you think it needs to be like so that God can work. Because in the quantum field, you know, there's infinite possibilities. But if we tell God exactly how to create that field, we are limiting our good, yes? Exactly. So there's this dance between manifestation and putting some parameters and then letting them all go, right? So we need to call it in, but we need to let go and let God move in it and let it look different than what we thought it might appear to be. That's the journey, the journey of awakening, is that we have to embrace the human in order to express the divine. To be okay to laugh with ourselves, to know that there's going to be times when we falter, when we fall, when maybe the dream doesn't outpicture. But to trust and know that there is a divine plan at play. So we are here in this fifth week of recognizing that there is a purpose to our life. And to know that we are here to be the Christ of God. We are here to be the Christ of God, and we are working into that, right? We're working into that. You know, some of us might say, well, how can I be like Jesus, the Christ? You know, we might feel a little awkward that we're not worthy of that. Well, it's okay, you're probably not. Just as I am not yet fully realized, right, that we're working towards that. And there's parts of us that are very much being fully developed into our divine nature. And there's still parts that we've got a little work to do, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why we're here. That's sort of why we're working it out. It's not like perfection. Because remember, Jesus came not as the exception, but as the example to follow, right? That these things I do, you shall do also. And we're here to be the Christ of God, yes? So let's say this affirmation together. I am the Christ of God. I am the way of God. I am the life of God. I, Denise, am the universe expressing as God. Yes. Yes. Yes? Yes. So let us pray. Oh, divine loving presence, we do give thanks for these teachings. We give thanks for each soul here that knows at the very soul of their being that they are here to be the Christ of God. that we are here to awaken to our divine nature. And we are here to be the heart for God, the hands for God, and the voice for God. So we ask God, how shall we serve? How shall we serve this planet? Through our own unique gifts and talents, through our own resources, that we can be a source of generosity for the planet, for this planet right here and right now, whatever's out picturing, that we can be that presence. And we are anchoring in the awareness that God is in the midst of this standing rock situation. God is in the midst of this election, that we need to just let go, do our part and let go. And that we trust and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.